To be in our worship, to be in all the glory today, to be lifted up, to be elevated, to be magnified, to be glorified today. Have your way this morning, Lord, as we praise you, as we give you thanks, as we worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for grace sufficient for us, O God, for one more opportunity to glorify and to magnify your name. Have your way today, God. Right now, we lay aside our burdens. We take off our heavy garments. We replace them with joy and praise, with garments of thanksgiving. We lift up our hands today, Lord, and glorify you. Have your way today, God, we pray. Be magnified and be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we invite you to join us this morning. We welcome and we thank you for being with us this morning. We invite you to join us now as we enter into our time of worship and song. As we under the leadership of our elder Raleigh Sproul, he will lead us now in songs of praise and songs of worship. Join in with us and magnify the Lord our God. God bless you.
We bless the name of the Lord on today. How many of y'all know that we came to glorify the name of the Lord on this communion Sunday? Amen. We came to give God some praise, Fellowship Covenant Church. Amen. We bless the name of the Lord. Jesus, Come on, put those hands together. We bless the name of the Lord on today, and he's worthy to be praised. And we say, let praises rise from the inside, of me. We serve a worthy God. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Fellowship, we are victorious. Amen. And we worship the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord on today.
Let praises rise from the inside, of me. May you be light in the inside, of me. Come fill my life from the inside, of me. Set me on fire from the inside, of me. 'Cause all I want is for you, to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, to be glorified, you to be lifted high. Let praises rise from the inside, of me. May you be light in the inside, of me. Come in my life from the inside, of me. Set me on fire from the inside, of me. 'Cause all I want is for you, to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, to be glorified, you to be lifted high. All I want is for you, to be glorified. All I want is for you, to be glorified, to be lifted high. All I want, yes, Lord, is for you, to be glorified, to be lifted high. All I want. Praises rise from the inside, of me. May you delight from the inside, of me.
Come on and bless the name of the Lord.
Amen. Let praises rise from the inside, from the inside. Psalmist said, all that I want is to praise his holy name today. We bless God and thank you for, amen, for joining us in our song of worship and praise this morning. Certainly the Lord is good, and he's worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the praise and today. We're going to take this moment and invite you to come along with us as we're into a time of intercession. We're lifting up many of those that are still in need of prayer and healing in their bodies. While we thank God for the joy of getting good news that many are recovering, have recovered, and on their way to, amen, healing. We thank God for that, and we're still interceding and intervening this morning and soliciting your prayers for our mother Catherine Stokes. We're praying for Sister LaTanya McCord and Sister Barbara Singleton. We're lifting up those that are grieving today, the loss of loved ones, and we're lifting up those that are in need of more strength, just encouragement. We're lifting up our Sister Sharon Tyler Weber and Leon Weber. We're holding up Sister Ida Hudson and Sister Samelia Jones. And we're praying for those in our circle of influence as well, Brother Clifton Clark and Regina McLean and Diane Ruffin today, and all those that are laboring throughout this pandemic, whether they're in hospitals or in workplaces, whatever they're doing to make things what they need to be for so many that are in need of so much. We thank God for their perseverance, and we're praying that they would continue to endure, amen, and go forward in Jesus' name. We're holding up the whole family of fellowship today. Those of you that are at home or wherever you might be this morning, amen, we're lifting up our community, our community surroundings, the whole borough of the Bronx, amen. Our nation, our world today is in need of a touch, the hand of God. Let's raise him up in prayer today. Join us wherever you are. Touch someone in agreement today. Amen. Set aside this time. Let's touch and agree in prayer and believe our God. We serve a God, amen, who doesn't sleep nor slumber. We serve a God who's able to do above and exceedingly more than we ask or think. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer now. Father, we thank you. God, we praise and we magnify you today, for you are a great God and you're worthy of all the honor today. Today, Lord, you've heard the names we've laid before you this morning for the first time. You know their conditions, their predicaments, their situations, and their circumstances. We pray this morning for your hand to intervene, for your will to be done, healing to be their portion today. Strength, oh God, to fortify them, for encouragement to keep them going. I pray this morning, Father, by the accordance of your word, that you let the peace of God rule and abide in our hearts today. Those that would welcome depression, we unwelcome it today, Father. In name of the Lord Jesus, those who have been sitting, oh God, in seats of sorrow, we upseat it today and stand in joy. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, you said, my peace I give unto you. You've given us joy in the midst of sorrow when conditions seem so perplexing and we don't know which way to go. We come to the rock. Oh, God, you're the rock of our salvation, the rock of our hope, the rock who's endless, the rock who will not let us down. We're leaning on you this morning, God, in that apartment, in that bedroom, in that car, in that closet, in the hospital, in the nursing home. We're trusting in you today. But where shall we flee from your presence? Whither can we go without being in your company today? Strengthen today, God. Heal bodies today. Heal hearts today. Oh, God, that mother, that father, that son, that brother. Oh, God, who's lonely and depressed. We come, oh, God, with joy and hope today that you're the God of light. Oh, God, you bring truth and grace. In Jesus' name, strengthen today, Lord. Build us up today, we pray. Have your way now, God. We thank you and we bless you. And we give you the glory and the honor now. as we mindfully and willfully, oh God, and deliberately say, thank you, Lord, for all you're doing for us now, all you're going to do and all you have done. We give you praise. We give you honor now, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. We thank God today. He is a God who's orchestrating and guiding and governing our steps. Amen. He's guiding us, and we thank God for that today. We welcome you now for this time. Amen. It's offering time. Amen. It's time to give. To give. It's time to give, and we praise God for that today. It's time to give. Before we begin our giving, I want to, amen, mention a few people who have really, we want to first of all thank all of you who have sent your gifts in. Amen. Let me make it very clear. We are looking to continue to be a blessing to the Castle Hill community. There are needs that we still need to meet externally. Yes, and there are needs we're looking to meet internally. So our giving now is critical because there are so many needs that we are approached by, so many that are in conditions that just need a little boost, a little help. So your giving is being a blessing to us today, and we're so thankful. Amen. We have our quarterly canvas update for the spring quarter. Amen. Many, we have now 112 participants who have decided that in addition to their tithe and their offering, they are going to also send in a special gift earmarked for our quarterly canvas. We thank you for that today. We want to thank today our new additions to our list, our sister Barbara Adams. God bless you, sister Barbara. Our sister Earlene Brown, our sister Ashley Cato, our sister Deborah Cadwell. We thank God for sister Deborah. Amen. Sister Ezra Fleming. Amen. Our deacon Regina Gunn. Our sister, amen, Chantel Morris. Amen. Welcome to our quarterly canvas list, sister Chantel. God bless you. Brother Johnny McCord. Our sister Alicia McMyers, amen. We're praying for her in the healthcare industry. We're lifting up and we're thanking God for sister Barbara. Moore Phelps is also added to our list today. God bless you. And way up north, way up yonder, amen, our contingency in the Peekskill area, we welcome and thank God for brother Charles Patterson, our sister Mary Ann Patterson, our sister DeAngela Ravenel, and also our sister Geraldine Straws. Praise God. That whole area is covered now by the quarterly canvas givers. Also, we're going to praise God for our brother and sister Eddie Rosa and sister Carlotta Rosa. Welcome to the list. Our sister Carrie Seeley and our sister Barbara Walker. Amen. Amen. We thank you so much for joining the list of quarterly givers. Amen. To our earmark for quarterly canvas. We are so grateful and so appreciative of your obedience and your good, concise stewardship to our giving initiatives. Thank you so much. We're grateful for that. And now it's time all of us can do, amen, is give, amen, our tithes, give our offerings. And if you're not on the list yet, amen, join us in our canvas giving. If you're giving your tithes and your offering, we thank God for your faithfulness. We also want to welcome you to take the leap of faith and join us in our quarterly giving. Submit your resources, your funds in that earmarked area. You can give via, amen, many different mechanisms. We have our Cash App. We have our FCC Giving. We have Zelle. There are a host of things. There's also this wonderful old resource call. The United States Postal System. Amen. Nothing. Rain, snow, sleet, and shine. The mail will arrive at some point. Praise God. So we thank God for you. Feel free to send it in the mail. We receive it. And again, we thank you so much. And let's hold your gifts right now. Let's thank God that we have to give. Let's just thank God right now. We thank you, Father, for the gifts that we have to give. You have made us, oh God, faithful stewards today, and we honor you with our giving. God, many will not see it or even know, but we give to you in secret, and you said you reward us openly. So we receive our gift, our blessings now, Father, as we give unto you with a cheerful heart. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. God bless you. We thank you so much. through your giving, your tithing, and for your special giving of our quarterly canvas. God bless you. We're going to jump right into the Word of God in a moment. Before we do that, just by way of update, amen, we have, amen, our continued, amen, prayer every night this week, beginning tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and then special treat on Saturday. We have time for our update from our pastor, so all of us can join in on Saturdays at 8:45 to get our updates and hear the voice of our pastor concerning pertinent things that we need to be privy to as we go forward into the next week. Also, we made an announcement that you have access to that is coming Wednesday at both our 12 noon and 7 p.m. Bible study will be on a new number. If you have not received the new number, I want you to please call the church so we can give you the number. We don't want you to miss it. And I want to just put a little bit of jolt, a little bit of push out there. Our 7 o'clock Bible study attendees, many have, we don't know what happened to you. So we want to invite you, if you're not joining at 7, if you slacked off a little bit, amen, jump start it. It's May. It's time to spring forward. Jumpstart Bible study in May. If you slacked up a little bit in April, got all caught up in all the mess that's going on, shake it. Amen. Plug back in at 7 o'clock. We have a great, hearty number of people joining us at 12, but I see a little bit of drop in our 7, so join us and be a part of that. We love you. We appreciate you. We're so grateful for Communion Sunday and a chance to hear from our pastor in word, amen, and also in sacrament. Welcome our pastor at this time, Pastor Conure Eaton. God bless you. We love you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, family, and the Lord bless you today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we get ready to hear and to receive God's word. Lord, your word is like a seed, a holy seed of God laden with potential to bring forth great, rich fruit in our lives. And so we pray today that our ears and our heads and our hearts would be a ready seed bed, that our hearts would be fertile soil to hear what the Holy Spirit would have to say to us. Let your word be hidden in our hearts so that we don't and we won't sin against you. And we pray in Jesus' name that your word will take root in our lives, that it will bring forth fruit, harvest of 30-fold, harvest of 60-fold, meaning 60 times, harvest of 100-fold. Help our lives to be fruitful, fruitful vineyards for the glory of God. We give you praise and honor and glory, and we bind the enemy who comes with distractions to steal God's word from us today. Help us to hide it in our hearts and even in our atmosphere. We pray for the peace of Christ so we can receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the sermon for today is, Children, have you any meat? Have you any meat? No, you've called Stop and Shop to say, have you any meat? ShopRite to say, have you any meat? Key Food, Whole Foods, have you any meat? Last week, the news outlets projected a meat shortage that was supposed to begin Friday, May 1st. And as had been the case with toilet paper and Lysol spray and paper towel and Clorox wipes, folks flocked to the stores at the crack of dawn, and again, late into the night to get it. Meat, chicken breasts and pork chops, turkey wings and oxtails, short ribs and ribeyes. Watching the reports, the masses thronged, parking lots were packed, and the meat aisles were lined with customers. Everybody wanted to know that they had something to put in the refrigerator and something to save in the freezer. Meat, brisket and lamb shank, bacon and calf livers, hamburgers and hot dogs. Meat, it is a staple in the American diet. While various foods can provide our bodies with protein, There is something to be said for meat. Raise your hands, carnivores. There's something to be said about meat. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, it's the key feature of our meals. We name our dinners after it. Oh, I'll have the chicken dinner. Dark meat, please. Or, give me 2 steak dinners, a medium well. And though every dinner has more than one item included on the plate, we typically characterize the plate by the meat it includes. Bologna, pot roast, neck bones, goat, pig feet, meat. Not having it or not having enough of it instilled in some people last week a sense of discomfort, even a mild panic. That's good. What will I put between my slices of bread for lunch? I don't have any turkey. I don't have any bologna. Those who were raised in my age, if I don't have any liverwurst, huh? What will I chop and put on my salad if there's no chicken? What will go beside the mashed potatoes and string beans come supper time? The threatened shortage and sparse meat shelves brought to mind for some the Wendy's commercial of 1984. Where's the beef? But beyond the meat shortage, the truth is that we have a fear of being left without the things we need. Yes, there's a sense of dread associated with not having enough. When you mess with the food chain, you begin to hit a nerve. Human beings need nourishment to survive, though we can live, and some even live better, without eating meat. Meat occupies such a primary role in our meals and in our psyche that some felt ill at ease at the thought of not having any meat. Children, have ye any meat? Our text today represents a brief departure. We'll jump right back to the at-home series. This story in today's text is a story of Eastertide, and it's among my very favorites. I appreciate the post-resurrection stories now more than ever before. I can relate to how confused the disciples must have been, how taken aback they were, how out of sorts they felt as their world was being turned upside down. As we shake our heads over how different life is today than how it was just 8 weeks ago, let us consider for a moment how the disciples might have felt about the upheaval they faced in a matter of just a few days. Consider this. Early in the week, they went to Jerusalem with Jesus to celebrate the Passover. And everybody worshiped Jesus as he entered the city. They even called him Son of David, suggesting he was the Messiah. They finally recognized him for who he was. It was such a happy day. Things were so good, in fact, that the disciples may have felt that their hopes for a new kingdom, a kingdom where they were not oppressed by Roman guards or even bullying religious leaders like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, was about to be ushered in. And they would be ushered in along with Jesus to stand at his side. And then out of seemingly the clear blue sky, a trusted friend and a close comrade betrayed Jesus. And then to their shock and horror, Jesus was arrested. Oh my gosh, to make matters worse, the leader of the disciples, Peter, denied Jesus 3 times. And then the unthinkable happened. Jesus was agonizingly crucified on Golgotha's hill. The earth recoiled. The disciples ran, deeply grieved, and hid for days. And then just a few days later, they hear of and then see for themselves that the tomb where they knew Jesus was buried was suddenly empty. The huge boulder blocking the entrance had been rolled away. Jesus's bedclothes, Jesus's funeral clothes were folded and laid on a slab. Then the words of the women who were among the disciples who said that he rose, what were they to make of this? And then the encounters they had with Jesus themselves in a home, showing his wounds, eating and drinking, and again on the road by a group of disciples. It was all too much. One shocking thing after the next. One extraordinary occurrence after another. They felt a threat for their own lives and safety. And all of this, the last 3 years of their lives, was culminating into something that was very different from what they expected. And we can certainly relate to that as we enter another month, the month of May, of a reality we scarcely recognize. Jesus, the promise-keeping Savior, said he would never leave the disciples, neither would he forsake them. And friends, he says the same to us. Jesus said to their faces, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Let not your heart be troubled. And in fact, even before Jesus sends the Holy Spirit to live in them, he himself, in a glorified body, comes to them. This time, he visits them from a distance. In today's encounter, he shows them that even though he's been crucified and he's been resurrected, he's still their provider. He's still Jehovah Jireh. Turn with me now to St. John chapter 21. We'll read verses 1-6. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise, he showed himself. Oh, I'm reading the King James Version. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also will go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw in the net for the multitude of fishes. So far the scripture. Jesus is still the master of the wind and the waves, the water and the seas. He is the one who takes care of his own. And so John, the gospel writer, the elder is teaching us about the gospel of John, is the only one of his peers, his fellow gospel writers, who tells us this rich story, and we're so grateful for it. At the top of the final chapter of his gospel, he locates us on a fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee with several of the disciples. Now, previously in Matthew chapter 28, verse 7, an angel told Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to go ahead to a Galilee to meet, and that Jesus was going to meet them there. Maybe Peter decided to go fishing on the Sea of Galilee because he remembered that Mary and Mary, amen, maybe that was where Mary came from. Mary and Mary told him, meet us in Galilee. We don't know. Maybe Peter decided to go fishing because he had a family to feed and he didn't have a ready vehicle for how to feed his family. We don't know. Maybe Peter decided to go fishing because that's what he was doing before he met and began to follow Jesus, and because he was so ashamed and humiliated and confused about his own failure to acknowledge the Christ he said he loved, the Christ he said he would die for. Maybe he decided, let me go back to my old life because Jesus is gone, and what am I to do now? We have no idea exactly why Peter decided to go fishing and why he decided to be on the Sea of Galilee. But because Peter was such a strong and a noted leader, when Peter said, I'm going fishing, the disciples said, hey, we'll go with you. And so they enter this fishing boat and they go fishing, and they fish mostly all night and they don't catch any fish. And then early in the morning, even at dawn, the sun had not fully risen to its pinnacle. Jesus in his glorified body is standing at the seashore. He's not recognized even by his closest friends. Maybe it was too dark for them to make out his image. Maybe their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they can't make out his features because of the distance. They don't know that it's the one they love, but it is him. It's the Prince of Peace standing on the shore. It's him, the everlasting Father, perched on the beach. It's him, the wonderful Counselor, the Rose of Sharon, the wheel, Ezekiel said, in the middle of the wheel. He's the day spring, the King eternal, immortal, and in Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. Yes, it is Jesus. Nobody but Jesus standing on the shore. He calls out to them on the boat, children, have ye any meat? The Aramaic word for children, haidia, means little children or lads. He asked them if they had been able to secure fish for which they had been working all night. They answered, no, we haven't. Maybe they were thinking like we would be. I stood in line, but I couldn't get meat. I went to the grocery store early, but I don't have any meat. I was told this nightmare would be over in 2 weeks, but I still don't have meat. I went to Key Food, come on, Stop and Shop, ShopRite, Fairway, and I can't find the meat. Jesus asked them, little children, do you have any meat? Maybe he was really asking, can you supply your own needs? Can you make your own way without me? My God, can you handle an uncertain future by yourself? Do you have what you need to make it on your own? The answer they gave, the answer we give today is no, Lord. No, we can't do it ourselves. No, we can't figure things out. No, we don't have all the answers. No, we will not succeed on our own. No, we are nothing without you, Lord. Can scarcely wake up and bring ourselves out of the bed without your strength in our bodies, without your life blood flowing through our veins. Do you have any meat? No. Is the supermarket your source? No. Is the stimulus check your supply? No. Are the newscasters your true compass for direction? No, no, no. Children, Jesus asks, do you have any meat? The disciples answer, no, sir, we don't. The answer, my friends, that you and I should give as well is no, Lord. And then reminiscent of an instruction Jesus gave Peter years ago after an unsuccessful fishing expedition, the stranger on the shore gives them an instruction. Throw your net over to the right side of the boat and you will find fish. Where did we hear that before? Someone telling us to cast our net on the other side. Why would there be fish here now when there were no fish here the whole night long? But friends, they did it. They honored the word of a stranger whose face they couldn't even see. They responded to the instruction they received. Maybe they did it, and though it didn't make sense to them, but our making it in these uncertain times and our coming out all right is contingent in part on our obeying the voice of the Lord. How am I going to make it? You say, you're going to walk in the Spirit. What am I going to do? You ask, you're going to obey the Spirit of the Lord when he gives you a direction, if it makes sense, if it doesn't, if it's how you would typically do things, or if it isn't, you're going to honor, hallelujah, and obey the Spirit of the Lord. We have to obey and recognize his voice, even when it doesn't make sense, even when our own thoughts tell us to focus on self-preservation. Obeying his voice, even when his instruction is inconvenient, is imperative for flourishing in times of difficulty. Obeying the voice of the Lord, friends, is the order of the day. And so the disciples cast the net in obedience to the right side, to the word they received, and fish filled the net. Fish flooded the net. Fish flocked to the net. the net was so heavy that the disciples couldn't even haul it in. They went from no meat to more meat than they could manage in a matter of moments. The key was obedience. Ooh, I hope you hear that today. Jesus was faithful. He always has been faithful. Jesus is faithful when we're not. He is where he says he will be when we're not where we should be. He stands on the shore of our lives, even when our waters are tumultuous. He knows where we are. He's still in control. And though my family, the newscasters, threaten lack, lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help does not come from your investments, and your help does not come from your savings, and your help does not come from your wit or your charm or your good looks. Your help does not come from your ingenuity or your ability to influence people. Your help comes from the Lord. The question arose, what will happen to us now that he's gone? And the answer is, he's not gone. He's still here and providing. He's watching us and providing for us, calling out to us and providing for us, instructing us and providing for us, identifying us as his children and providing for us. Hosea 11:4 gives us a picture of God who says, Israel was my child and I bent down to feed them. My friends, I don't care what your refrigerator looks like, what your cupboard looks like, call on the strong name of Jesus and trust him for provision. He will bend down and feed you. This story teaches us that even when things seem to be going wrong, God is still God. Is anybody glad about that today? He has not let go of the reins. He will never abandon his nature. Hallelujah. He is Jehovah Jireh. He was the same yesterday, today, and he will be forever. He is the God who is from everlasting to everlasting. God has always been in charge of the food supply. Come on here. God is the source of his people's supply. The psalmist said, he maketh a table. He prepareth a table before me. Right in the presence of my enemies, they have to stand and watch me eat. He satisfies my mouth, the psalmist said, with good things. God provided meat in the wilderness for his people. The morning brought manna from the sky, and the afternoon wind blew quail in to cover the ground of the camp. And when there was a famine in Egypt, God raised his son Joseph up the ranks to the place of being right under the Pharaoh, of being the chancellor of Egypt. And the people ate for 7 years of famine because God is in charge of the food supply. God is in charge. God, hallelujah, is in charge. Not meat packing companies, not Donald Trump, come on, not Andrew Cuomo. God is in charge. God fed Elijah, assigning ravens to bring him meat each day, and then commanding a widow woman, a single mother, to feed the hungry prophet with a tiny cruse of oil and a little handful of flour. God sustained the widow, her son, and the prophet until the famine was over. Thank you. I appreciate you. God is in charge of the food supply. Jesus took 2 fish. And 5 loaves, a happy meal at best, and fed thousands of hungry peasants who came to the outskirts of town to hear him preach. God is the source of our supply, and all things are at his disposal. When Israel was under siege by the Aramean army, the people were literally starving to death. So severe was the famine that disgusting non-food items were being purchased at a premium price and consumed hungrily by those who would have disdained them just a few weeks earlier. Elisha the prophet told the people that the very next day, in the thick of the famine, the very next day, food would be abundant, plentiful, and inexpensive. Did you hear me? Abundant, plentiful, and inexpensive. And God performed a miracle, causing the army of the Arameans to hallucinate and run for their lives, leaving behind of Thanksgiving Day feast. Oh, family, the scripture is replete with examples of how God took nothing and made much more than enough, about how God fed his people in the most adverse circumstances. And the truth is, you have a testimony of how he made a way for you out of no way, how he opened up a door when you didn't know how you'd get through, when he gave you favor when you didn't deserve it, when he touched your body when you didn't know how you'd get well, when he was your comforter when somebody you counted on left you. You have a testimony that he's able to provide, that he's the source of your supply. Amen. That he is the only way maker you need. As 2019 came to a close, I had an uneasy feeling that I couldn't shake. I felt a shift was coming for us, but I didn't know what it would entail. I asked the Lord what he was saying, what he was doing, but I didn't have a clear revelation. The Holy Spirit told me that a shift was headed our way, but he didn't reveal the nature of the shift. I knew the ship was shifting. I didn't know that the whole world would be reeling, my God. When I asked the Lord what we should do when the ship shifted, I heard two words: hold on, hold on, hold on. It brought me back to being on a cruise ship years ago and feeling the boat rock in high winds and waves. It was a big boat, but it still was rocking. Along the wall of the corridors were handrails. I had to hold on to the handrails to get back to my room. My friend, the word of God and your time of devotion and prayer are handrails to which you should hold fast in this time of the ship shifting. In this season of uncharted waters, we praise God that we serve the master of the sea. He made fish swarm to the right side of that little boat in the Sea of Galilee, and he'll cause resources to come to you even from unexpected places. He'll bring you graces, I promise. In this season of uncertainty, we're grateful that we hold the hands of the God who holds yesterday, today, and tomorrow. When circumstances render us insecure, we rest in the blessed assurance that we know who holds our hands. Listen for his voice, wait for his direction, and prepare to experience his extraordinary provision. God has promised to provide for us. God has promised to provide for us. All creation is his own. All our needs to him are known. God has promised, hallelujah, to provide for us. Safety is in his presence. Provision as one of his beloved children. As we close this sermon, come on, sing that with me. God has promised to provide for me. Encourage yourself. My God has promised to provide for me. Come on, you know it, all creation. All creation is his own. All my needs to him are known. God has promised to provide for me. Come on, sing it with me. My God has promised to provide for me. Aren't you glad? My God has promised to provide for me. All creation is his own, and all my needs to him are known. God has promised to provide for. You need to hear yourself singing it one more time. God has promised to provide for me. He always keeps his promises. My God has promised to provide for me. All creation is his own, and all my needs to him are known. God has promised to provide for me. Oh, my friends, God has promised to provide. All creation is his own, and all my needs to him are known. God has promised to provide for me. If you're listening today and you're worried, you're listening today and your heart is filled with fear, I want you to know that God has every resource at his disposal, and he is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that you let work in you. Is God's power working in you? Have you invited Jesus, the omnipotent one, to be Lord of your life? to be the leader of your life, to be director of your actions? If not, I want you to pray with me now, because this is the season when you need the provider. This is the time when you need the king, when you need an inner holy compass to guide you in your way. Would you pray with me now if you have not asked the Lord to be Savior and King of your life? Say these words: Heavenly Father, I haven't seen you, but I believe that you're real. And I believe that you love me. Thank you for sending Jesus, your only begotten Son, to give his life in my stead. I repent of my sins now. Thank you. I ask you to wash me clean and give me a brand new start with you as Lord of my life. Thank you for receiving me. Come make your home in me. Have your way in my life. Take over the reins. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, family. We love you. We're going to prepare our hearts now for the service of Holy Communion. I'm going to ask Elder Dennis to join me. I'm going to ask Elder Sproul if he'll just play one little bar of Alas and Did My Savior Bleed? Did My Sovereign Die? He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I at the cross where I first saw the light. The burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith that I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day.
Such a worm as I.
Come on, sing. At the cross, at the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart, they rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Glory to God.
Let's prepare our hearts and our home to receive the Lord's Supper. We are not used to receiving communion at home. You always come to the house of the Lord. Important sacramental service. But today, the Lord is in your home. He's in your house. His Spirit is with you right in your dwelling.
Back when Jesus hosted the Last Supper with his friends, the disciples, he did so from a house. When the believers in the first century churches worshiped together and celebrated the love feast together, they did so as churches that met in homes. The point is that communion originated in the house. We don't have to be in the sanctuary in order to receive Holy Communion.
Let's bow our heads, join our hearts now for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for making house calls. You are with us always. We are outside and when we are inside. Thank you for your abiding presence. And thank you for sending Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, who came to take away the sins of the world. We are grateful for this sacrificial offering of his body bearing our sins on the cross, so that through faith in Jesus Christ, We have peace with you, O God.
Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that purchased our eternal salvation. In our homes, observing social distance, our hearts are filled with gratitude. We receive even now your peace. Please bless and sanctify these elements, the bread or crackers, and the juice that we will receive now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On that night, Jesus was betrayed by Judas. He took the loaf of bread and he went and he gave thanks for it. And he said these words. He said, "This is my body that is for you. Take this, and as often as you eat, do it in remembrance of me."
Sisters and brothers, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Receive it.
In the same way, he took the cup. And he said these words. "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement that I make in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again."
Brothers and sisters, this is the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Drink it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Amen. And now we are going to sing the familiar song of the church that we love to sing together on communion Sunday. "The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, will never lose its power."
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calm my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never
said, yes, Lord. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. Come on, it reaches to the highest mountain. Thank you, Jesus. And it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, yeah. Blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. Last time, it will never.
Brothers, God bless you. Go in the peace of Christ.
Thank you.